Former U.S. defense officials are finally admitting that UFOs are real. What is going on with all of this all of a sudden? And also, NASA is planning on building a lunar gateway, and they've actually revealed exactly how they're going to do it. All this and more on today's Peck Report. In a total bout of laziness, I have decided to forego the suit today and just do a standard t-shirt ensemble. Now, the reason is because Christina is upstairs with my children and I'm afraid of my kids, and that's where my clothes are. So I've decided to just do a t-shirt today. I'm sure there's not going to be any complaints about it. But we have a lot to talk about today, especially what is the deal with all of the disclosure really in the UFO world from our government. I mean, they're just admitting everything now. I mean, we kind of figured that this was going to happen. And actually, if you read me and Derek Gilbert's book, The Day the Earth Stands Still, then you would have already known that 2019 was going to be the year that all this was going to drop. But even we couldn't predict how extreme this was going to get. So we technically got official disclosure in back in 2017, but it didn't really become apparent until now. So you can look back and see the initial stages of it then, but it wasn't that widely reported. There wasn't a whole lot of coverage on it. But now that it's leaked out so much, it's nearly daily we're getting new stuff with this. And that's why I say keep your eyes on Israel. Something is brewing. Every time there are major releases in the UFO world, anything that inspires a new wave of thought about how there might be life in the universe, for some reason, anything that inspires that idea, around the same time, you're going to get major events in Israel. So keep your eyes on Israel. There is stuff brewing now, but with everything that's going on in the realm of life elsewhere in the universe, I believe that we're going to see some majorly significant things in Israel. So keep your eyes on that. But a former U.S. defense official has said that they know UFOs are real, but here's why that's concerning. And there have been major publications. Mainstream media is now covering this and covering it seriously. It's not all just laughing about it anymore. It's not all just jokes. You know, it used to be that if UFOs ever got reported on, they would just kind of laugh at it as if it was some sort of weird anomaly or some sort of joke. But now it's actually taken seriously, and not only by Fox News. Now, Fox News was one of the very first, actually the first, in the mainstream willing to report on this in a serious manner. I even referenced Tucker Carlson's interview, multiple interviews in a presentation that I did that on the book, The Day the Earth Stands Still, which is available on this YouTube channel, if this YouTube channel is still a thing. If it's not, then you're viewing this on Daily Renegade, which you should anyway. You should go to dailyrenegade.com and become a member, but we'll get into that a little bit more later. But now other major publications, more mainstream media are taking this story seriously and actually reporting on it seriously. So speaking of Fox News, they said in a recent article that after a bombshell report detailing nearly daily interactions with unidentified flying objects by Navy pilots in 2014 and 2015, Christopher Mellon has argued that this information is nothing new and the government needs to do something about it. While it's not anything new for the government, and many of us have known that for a long time, it's certainly new to us. At least it's new to us in a way that is this widespread. Now, what's really mind-blowing about it, and I didn't necessarily predict it to be the way that it is. You know, I kind of figured that, what's really mind-boggling is how little people actually care about this. That actually did blow my mind. I mean, where's the outrage that the government was keeping this secret for so long? You know, maybe that was the government's plan all along, to wait till all the outrage had already burned out and then start releasing stuff, because they know it's going to get found out anyway. Other countries are releasing their files and their material. You just can't keep a secret this big for too long. So I think that all of this is a sort of a control bold disclosure. It started off as soft disclosure back in 2017, and now it is ramping into full-on disclosure, but it's controlled. It's at a time where people don't care as much anymore. Shows like Ancient Aliens have been on the air for a decade and a half, if not longer, and will continue to do so. This has already been inundated in the culture, where most people kind of figure, yeah, there probably is aliens, but they don't really think about the complexities of government involvement. So this is nothing new to the government, but it is new to us. So Mellon, who is a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, is involved with a new History Channel series called Unidentified, which apparently will expand on topics discussed in a recent New York Times article. So in numerous interviews, Navy pilots revealed that they saw UFOs moving at hypersonic speeds, performing acts beyond the physical limits of a human crew, and emitting no visible engine or infrared exhaust plumes. Could you ever predict that the government would be so full on into disclosure mode that they're actually having shows on the History Channel about it, and they're providing information about it? It's crazy how fast this happened, but again, it's also crazy the country's attitude about it. Most people don't care, and that is how this deception is slipping under the radar, no pun intended. Maybe a little pun intended. But in a Wednesday morning interview with Fox and Friends, Mellon, who has written extensively on this topic before, outlined the reasons that the Navy is concerned about these sightings. So he said, quote, "We know that UFOs exist. This is no longer an issue. The issue is, why are they here? Where are they coming from? And what is the technology behind these devices that we are observing?" End quote. So, you know, Fox News reports that there are indications, as Mellon has said, that the objects reported by Navy pilots in 2014 and 2015 were doing things that aren't possible in this physical realm. That is directly from government officials. That's not speculation. That's not interpretation. This is coming directly from our own government and from other governments around the world. You know, the speeds being reported, about 5,000 miles per hour, according to Mellon, were only sustainable for about an hour by an aircraft in the air. And these objects would be flying around all day long, according to the pilots. Mellon continued, quote, "Pilots observing these craft are absolutely mystified, and that comes through clearly in their public statements," end quote. Now, fascination has turned to fear one day, however, when a Super Hornet pilot said he almost collided with one of these objects, which he described as a sphere encasing a cube. So an official report was filed, and the incident shattered the previous theory by Navy pilots that the objects were part of some sort of extremely classified drone operation. What a strange description. A sphere encasing a cube. Very strange. Mellon explained, quote, "These are reactions between intelligently controlled vehicles operating in and around U.S. military facilities, hence the concern. One, there have been near mid-air collisions, so there is a safety issue. Two, there is a vital national security issue, which is that our sovereignty is being violated by vehicles of unknown origin," end quote. Now, although all of this information is old news to Mellon, it's taken America by storm, at least those who are interested in this. And he says that we're hardly the only country to have interactions with these objects. You know, I think part of why the government has gotten so bold in releasing this information is back in 17, when this first started, nobody noticed. No one really cared. There was no outrage towards the government. And I think the government was sort of testing it at that point to see how we were going to react. When they saw that we really didn't have much of a reaction at all, I think they just figured, well, it's going to get out sometime anyway, you know, because think about it. I mean, years before that, Mexico was already releasing their information and even their videos and things. Other countries of the world was doing this too. Now, there's also a competition element, you could call it that, like a sort of competitiveness between countries. And you saw that in other countries. That's, you know, when one country like Mexico would release just amazing footage from their own military of UFOs, other countries would want to do the same because, you know, Mexico's on the, in the spotlight. Can't have that. We want us to be in the spotlight. And so there's always going to be competitiveness like that. But the U.S. has sort of stayed out of that for a long time up until now. And I think it was because the U.S. government had kept this secret from the people for so long that they were worried of, you know, backlash. So they started off slowly, knowing a time was coming where all these other countries are releasing everything they know. You know, it would only be a matter of time before we, as the American people, would start to realize yet again, oh, they are actually hiding stuff. And a renewed outrage would ensue. And I think that that's what they were avoiding. So instead of waiting for Americans to just get angry about it again, you know, all these other countries are coming forth with what they know. Why isn't the U.S. government? I think they were avoiding that outrage happening again as it did decades before. So they realize now is the time. Now is the time to release this stuff. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody really cares that much. There's not going to be much outrage. If anything, there's going to be some gratitude that we're showing some good faith, that we're, you know, releasing this stuff to the public. And that's how we get our actual official disclosure moment that, again, Derek Gilbert and I wrote about in The Day the Earth Stands Still. And we wrote about this before any of this even happened. In fact, using using historical key moments in Israel's past, you can map out when major events are going to happen. And we predicted in that book, it's not a God-given prophecy or anything like that. It's just a prediction based on previous data points. We predicted in that book that you would see something significant happen involving Israel and involving UFOs in late 2017. Specifically somewhere around December, like late December, mid to late December to early to mid January. That's exactly what happened. And that book, you can go back and check the publication date. Our book came out before any of this happened. So we took a big risk in predicting this, but I felt it was right. And I felt like if these data points keep going the way they have been going all throughout history, through recorded history, then that's exactly what we should see. And that's exactly what happened. That was the time that the Pentagon Project was made public. The government started admitting things. We got official, the very beginning of official disclosure at that time. That was also within days, within 1 week. That was the same time that Trump announced he was going to move the embassy, and he actually did it. He was going to move the embassy, the U.S. embassy, to Jerusalem, and he actually did it. So big historical news in Israel that's going to be remembered forever. But these two events, they correlated in terms of time. They happened around the same time. Well, now we're getting another resurgence in all of this disclosure stuff. Now the government is getting more bold because, you know, they're realizing there isn't the outrage that they might have expected. People, by and large, don't care. If they do care, they're grateful. There's very few people who are actually outraged. And those that are outraged are in a minority, and they're not in a position that they can do anything about it. They're not in a position of power. The people who are in power are thrilled that the government is doing this. So there's been another really big surge in official disclosure stuff. So I would say, just tracking along with those data points again, that sometime very soon we should see something significant happening in Israel yet again. I don't know what it's going to be. There's no way to tell exactly what it's going to be, but I would say keep your eyes on Israel. Now, continuing on with this story, Mellon, having written extensively about UFO sightings before, he said that he's frustrated with the lack of action that's being taken by the government, as are the Navy pilots who experienced the sightings. Now, that's pretty telling because on our end, it seems like they have been pretty active. But if Mellon and other Navy pilots are frustrated with the lack of action, it means that there's even more out there to be disclosed to us. So, Mellon had decided that the only way to make progress was to release this information to the public in the form of his new show and television interviews. Now, strangely enough, gone are the days where your life is going to be threatened over disclosing these facts. So he said, quote, "We are giving military personnel on the front line a voice. We are helping them get out the message of what it is they are encountering and why they are so concerned about it," end quote. You know, I don't believe that they're doing this in opposition to the government. I think it's entirely likely, whether they know it or not, that these military personnel, these Navy pilots and Mellon himself, are doing this in accordance with what the government wants. I think this is a way that the government can release more information faster without being, you know, liable for the consequences. Now, of course, I want to know what you think about all of this. What are your thoughts? There's a very big prophetic implication here that this could have something to do with the Great Deception. This could be the thing that deceives people away from God. This could be the strong delusion that God's sends on the unrepentant. And it would make sense why, if that's the case, why it connects so much with Israel. But I want to know what you think. Leave me a comment in the comment section below. Also, don't forget to go to dailyrenegade.com and become a member. Becoming a member is very easy. Actually, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But before I do, I want to tell you about CBD Pure, CBD Pets, and Coastline Kratom. So if you suffer from chronic pain, as I do, there is an option available. There's actually several options available to you that do not involve narcotics and, you know, getting involved in this opioid epidemic that's killing an ungodly number of Americans every day. You don't have to have any part in that. I was once hooked on narcotics because of my bone disease and chronic pain. And I decided there has to be another way. I actually did this the hard way, and I don't recommend this, but I stopped cold turkey, all the narcotics, which about killed me. So not a good idea. You know, if you're going to get off narcotics, you should do it with a doctor's supervision. But I just quit cold turkey. It about killed me. It was the worst time of my life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I did this before I knew about Kratom and before I knew about CBD oil and all these other alternatives. It wasn't until after I got through all the withdrawals and after everything was out of my system that I learned about Kratom and I started taking Kratom. I'll tell you about Kratom in a minute. But first, if Kratom is just, if it's not your thing, maybe CBD oil is. Now, CBD oil, CBD Pure and CBD Pets has the absolute most organic, non-GMO, pesticide-free CBD oil on the market, and they prove it to you by showing their scientific results, their third-party testing of every batch they make of CBD oil right on their website. So you can go to dailyrenegade.com, find the banner on the sidebar, click on that link, and it'll take you directly there. And you can try this stuff out. You get a money-back guarantee if you try it and don't like it. No risk to you. They also make it for your pets. So if you have an anxiety-ridden dog or cat or something like that, this can really help. So go to dailyrenegade.com. I know the ad says joshpeckdisclosure.com. We still have to update those. But you could even still go there. Both addresses will take you to the same place. But it is dailyrenegade.com. And just click on the link in the sidebar that you'll find there. While you're there, if you're like me, maybe Kratom is your thing. Maybe Kratom is the thing that's going to give you your life back. So Coastline Kratom is great. You get a money back guarantee with them too. It's the highest grade, highest quality Kratom that you can find online today, and they have a wide variety of strains, different tolerance level. They have enhanced versions in case you have a higher tolerance like I do. So it's really great stuff. It can help you. A lot of people have used this to get off of opioids and have used it to manage their pain. That's what I do. Again, I take it every single day, and it gives me my life back. You know, you don't get a brain fog. You don't get high from it. You know, I'll be honest, the first couple of times I took it, I got a little bit of a buzz off of it, kind of like almost like when you drink a lot of coffee. It was sort of a little bit like that. But that goes away, after you do it for a while, it goes away. And I don't recommend, I mean, unless you need it every day, I don't recommend taking it every day to begin with. When I first started with it, I took it maybe a couple times a week. I would just take it when things felt really bad and I couldn't handle it. But that was because I didn't really know much about it. I wanted to make sure it was safe. I wanted to do my own research, so on and so forth. So I did all that, and then I just started taking it every day. And I've been doing that for years. I feel great. I haven't had any majorly negative results from it. If you take too much, you can get nauseous from it. It sort of feels like being car sick, or it can feel like your blood sugar drops almost. It's like that kind of, you know, shaky, nauseated feeling if you take too much. So you want to be careful and you know, test your limits very carefully. But that's what I like about Coastline Kratom, though. They have a wide variety of strains and different types of things, so you can test your tolerance. I recommend starting off small, like half a teaspoon at a time, just to see how it's going to react with your body, and just go from there. There's plenty of information online about it. I've done several videos. Some of those videos have been deleted from YouTube because Kratom is too controversial for YouTube. And actually, this video might get deleted just because I'm promoting it. But if you are a member of Daily Renegade, you can go back and find those videos. So again, just go to dailyrenegade.com and click on the banner, and you'll find Coastline Kratom. Also, while you're there, make sure you become a member of Daily Renegade, dailyrenegade.com. It's important that you become a member so we can get our control back over our own content. And when I say our, I mean yours too. This is not just my content. I'm creating it for you, so it's all of ours. I'm creating it for us all to share. And it's not fair of YouTube and these other social media platforms to just decide that they're going to delete it without warning, without giving us a chance to download it first and back it up. They don't do that. They just delete stuff. So that's why we created Daily Renegade. You can become a member today, and you can have full access to every show we produce. We have about 11 shows right now. We're going to have somewhere between 12 and 15 pretty soon. And you're not going to find the full versions of these shows on YouTube. You're only going to find them at dailyrenegade.com. So become a member today. It's only $10 a month or $100 a year. And your membership also goes to some great causes. So we donate 20% of every membership fee that we get in, really all of our income. So that's if you get merchandise or, you know, anything like that. We support some very important ministries. We first support we support a ministry that is trying to get rid of this scourge of abortion in our country. It's a pro-life ministry to raise awareness about the pro-life cause and to get abortion just banned across the country if we can. So we support that. We support two ministries that are reaching the Jewish people in Israel with the gospel. You know, we are very, very committed to that cause. It's extremely important that we get our Jewish friends saved so they can know who their Messiah is. And then we also support St. Jude's because, you know, obviously my son Nathan was treated there. They did a wonderful job. He is in remission, no more leukemia. So we support them. So 20% of all of your membership fee goes to those causes. So you're not only supporting Daily Renegade, you're supporting these ministries that we help out as well. Okay, so we got to talk about the lunar portal that NASA wants to build to the moon. But for that, you're going to have to become a member. So again, go to dailyrenegade.com, become a member today. All right, members. Members only. Thank you so much for becoming a member. Thank you for joining the family and helping us support these causes. You know, our hearts are really with these guys who are doing this amazing work, you know, trying to educate people about the cruel reality of abortion, what it really is. These amazing people that are healing children of cancer and just amazing missionaries going to Israel and really risking their lives to spread the gospel to our Jewish friends there. So very, very proud to be supporting these ministries. So let's talk about what NASA's doing. They're building a lunar gateway, a lunar portal, and they have a plan on exactly how they're going to do it. So NASA's Artemis mission, not to mention missions that will eventually use the moon as a launch pad to Mars, it's not going to be possible without the Lunar Orbital Platform Gateway. But, you know, how is this gateway itself going to come into being? Well, sci-fi.com, Sci-Fi Wire specifically, has reported on this and given us some information. So the space agency has a plan to get the gateway up and floating if Artemis is going to land by the government's new deadline of 2024. It's not going to be glamorous, apparently, when it first goes into lunar orbit. What will be there at first is the skeleton of the gateway, or the power and propulsion element, or PPE, along with a mini utilization module, which is launching in 2022. So this is happening very quickly. Now, do you think that that timing is coincidental? You know, we're getting all these reports about UFOs, all this official government stuff. Is this timing, is this merely coincidental that all of a sudden we're going back to the moon now? You know, after so many years? Very interesting. Now, at least NASA is positive that the Phase 1 gateway will be able to support two-person missions to the surface until it can level up some more. Now, there is a direct quote here from Bill Gerstenmaier, Associate Administrator for NASA's Human Exploration and Operation Mission Directorate. During a recent teleconference, he said, quote, "The smaller gateway is really just geared toward getting to the surface of the moon, so it has minimal life support capability. It has minimal docking ports. We really need a little bit more space, a little more volume, so we probably want some additional docking ports for other things so we can have potentially multiple lunar landers dock there," end quote. You know, I got to ask, too, what is this going to do to the flat Earth movement when we're actually able to see the Earth, like, for our own eyes from space? I mean, that is coming. There's already organizations that are planning to let human beings just go up there on trips, you know, if they have enough money. It's going to be very, very expensive at first. But I think with most things, if it's privatized, if it's private companies doing it, it's not going to take long for those prices to come down. You're going to have companies competing with one another. They're going to improve their technology while lowering their prices. You know, the same thing happened with like LASIK eye surgery. It used to be extremely expensive until everybody started doing it. And the technology got better and the cost came way down. And now it's pretty affordable. Same thing's going to happen here. What happens to the flat Earth movement then? That's my question. When everybody can see the true shape of the Earth. Now, right now, the flat Earth people will say, well, that'll never happen. You know, it's all a big deception. We'll never be able to get up there. You know, we'll shoot rockets up there and they'll just explode on the dome or whatever. Or they'll fake it somehow. It'll all be fake. I guess they'll have to stick with that narrative that it's just they're somehow it's like an illusion somehow, like a holographic thing or something. I don't know what they're going to do. But I would say. You know, nothing against the Flat Earth community, but if you are a member of the Flat Earth community, it's probably a good idea to start thinking about that now and what your reaction will be if this happens. If it turns out that we can actually just, anybody can go up there and see the Earth for what it really is, are you going to hold to your current beliefs no matter what? Or are you going to realize, oh, you know what, there is actually another way to interpret all of this. So, you know, and in all honesty, I've thought that myself, you know, if it turns out that the flat Earth thing is right, you know, I don't believe it is, but if it turns out it's right, if it's somehow proven that there's an ice wall and there's a dome and somehow there's proof of it, if they find the edge, what will I have to do? And so I've decided that I would have to change my perception appropriately. You know, I would have to change my opinion. I'd have to change my view and I'd probably have to accept the flat Earth view. But, you know, so I've already made that decision. I'm just like anybody else. I'm just looking for proof. So I think it's a good idea to start thinking about that now. But when phase one evolves into phase two with this lunar gateway thing, additional ports could be a genius move, according to Sci-Fi, if the gateway ends up functioning as a way station for spacecraft to refuel. Now, the larger version of this, you know, apparently it's looked at as ideal for fitting in more research and not to mention more room for the crew to move around, since spacecraft aren't exactly known for having luxury accommodations. They're really small and compact. And this is going to be a plus for future Mars missions that, you know, I mean, we can't expect to go it alone. So there needs to be extra space for NASA international partners. So that's a big part of what they're looking at, too, with this whole thing. And it's interesting that this is an international effort. Sort of reminds you a little of the Tower of Babel days, isn't it? You know, an international, of course, this was before nations. They were supposed to go out and disperse and create nations, but they weren't doing that. So God had to do that for them, but they were in an international effort to reach into heaven and to throw God from his throne, which obviously didn't work. But what's interesting is God did say that all of what they imagined to do would be possible. Now, was it possible that they were going to throw God from his throne? I don't think that's the point. I think the message there is that it was possible they were actually going to reach into heaven in a literal sense. And I don't think that God did what he did because he was scared that they were going to come into his domain and kill him. Obviously, he's God. I think he did it for humanity's own best interest. Because think about it. If you can't, the Bible says man, you know, mortal man cannot look God face to face. Otherwise, we are dead. Like, we're toast. We're done. If they entered into heaven, I mean, it would have been instantaneous death. And I don't know what that would have done in heavenly terms. I mean, would that death have like polluted heaven in a way that sin polluted the Garden of Eden? I don't know. But it definitely would have killed all the people, and then there would have been no more humanity left, right? So I think God scattering the nations and doing all that, I think it was more for the humans' benefit rather than his own. God was never under any threat of anything. Also, he knew everything that was going to happen before it happened. So I think that really is more showcasing his love rather than what some atheist would say, that it's a showcase of tyranny. It's not that at all. Now, the ISS has more living space than a 6-bedroom house currently. So it's obviously exceptional when it comes to spacecraft being notoriously cramped. NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine stressed that the Gateway is not intended to be ISS version 2.0 for the moon. Expanding it that much would use up too many resources from Martian missions to come. And while NASA wants boots back on the moon, it also wants to see human tracks move on to Mars. So that's what's coming next. Bridenstine said in a recent Florida Institute of Technology webcast, quote, "We as a nation do not want to get bogged down with all of our resources going to the moon. Our goal is ultimately to move on to Mars and not get stuck on the surface of the moon," end quote. So let's get to the surface of the moon first, and then after that is Mars. That's kind of the idea here. So I want to know from you, do you think we are actually going to go to Mars again? Do you think we've been there the first time? I know opinions are split on that. Do you think the moon landing was a hoax? I'm curious to know that. But do you think that we're going to land on the moon? And do you think that that is the first step, but the next step to traveling to Mars? Do you think human beings are ever going to make it to Mars? I, for one, I kind of believe that we will, at least right now. I think that we probably will make it there because, again, I think that could easily play into a lot more deception. So I think that the enemy would have very high motivations for humanity to travel to Mars. I think there's just a ton of deception that could be done through that. So if the enemy is allowed to, and I'm not even saying that a trip to Mars or exploration is evil just in itself. I think exploration in itself is just fine. You know, I mean, people would say, well, you know, if God wanted human beings to travel to the moon, he wouldn't have made space inhospitable. Well, if he wanted the Europeans to travel to America, he wouldn't have made the ocean inhospitable. It's the same argument. Yet we did that. You know, we did that, and we were able to. I know there are a lot of evils that came out of that, but ultimately we were able to spread the gospel to America, and now we get to live in the freest country the world has ever known. So, I mean, there's been a lot of benefits to that. So I sort of think the same for space. It's incredibly difficult. It's a lot more difficult than traveling across the ocean. But I think that it's doable. I think that we can do it, and we probably will. And I think that some good will come out of that. But I also think the enemy will use that for great, great feats of evil that are probably going to be worse than when we cross the ocean. Think about it. Any major exploration attempt, the enemy has used for just horrific acts of evil. And it has tempted human beings into using those explorations as excuses to participate in great acts of evil. I don't know exactly what that will look like when we go to, you know, the moon or Mars. I really don't know. I can't really anticipate that. Just like just like the early Europeans wouldn't have been able to anticipate what sort of acts of evil would come from traveling to the Americas. I mean, they didn't even know people were here. They actually thought that weird creatures like monopods from Chronicles of Narnia would inhabit this land. So, I mean, they had all sorts of weird beliefs, kind of like the weird beliefs we have about other planets, that maybe there's weird creatures there. And, you know, we've always kind of had that in our psyche, which is strange to think about. But I think ultimately that's how it's going to play out. I don't know how, but it's just history repeating itself. So that's what I think, but I want to know what you think. You know, my opinion isn't the only one on the table. Let me know what you think. Leave me a comment in the right on the page that you're on. You're viewing this. You're a member. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to view this. So you are a member. Leave a comment either on the message board or in the comment section for this video. I would love to know your opinion about this. Let's get a conversation going. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for your membership and for everything that you contribute to Daily Renegade. Thank you for being a part of the family. Love you all. And until next time, take care and God bless.